Thanks. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So good to be here with you guys. I just love Pastor Jeff and Tiffany. They are, what a joy they are. I've always been encouraged by them and just their love for people and their love for the church. And I am just so excited to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's always fun to be able to connect and hang out again. But it's fun to be here in Moses Lake, a Generations Church. This is a good place to be, isn't it? Man, I love this place. I've had a lot of good memories in Moses Lake, more than just stopping on my way to Spokane, too. But I believe that God has something for you and for this church, not just for today, but I think in this season. And so I'm excited to be here with you today. And the big question I have for you today is this, is what are you seeking? So if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to start with that right there. What are you seeking? We're gonna talk about that as we have been in the Sermon on the Mount. I've actually listened to all the messages in the Sermon on the Mount series. I just love Pastor Jeff's preaching. And I love how he's taking you on this journey. The first part was having a heart like Jesus. How many of you know that's important? We need his help to have his heart, right? And so now he's moving into part two. Like, this is you and I learning to live life with Jesus. Aren't you thankful that we don't just live for Jesus, we live with Jesus? And so last week the question was, who are you living for? Man, what a great message. What a great question. Who am I living for? And so today kind of lines up with that, as I'm just going to ask us to think about our life right now and what am I seeking? And I think this is an important question because what I seek in life determines the direction of my life. This really is all about, what am I going after in life? What is life all about for me? What are my desires? What are my passions? What do I want? Where am I going in life? What is it that I want to get out of this one life that I have? So that's my question for us this morning is, what are you seeking? And I'd love to take a few moments and encourage you, but also challenge you. Is it okay if I challenge you? I mean, you don't know me. I don't know you. I've met so many of you today. And man, y'all are a friendly group. Very friendly. I just feel the love in the air. Love is in the air here. This is great. But it's okay if you, will you allow me to challenge you for a few minutes here this morning? Receive this, receive my heart. I just want to point you to Jesus, and I just pray that you and I would all live out Matthew 6:33, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's my prayer for all of us. So as you guys have been journeying through the Sermon on the Mount, you haven't gotten to this part yet. We're going to skip over the Lord's Prayer and go straight to Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom, Jesus says, and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well, added unto you, whatever translation you prefer. And so all of these, what are all these things? All these things happen to be all the things that we tend to seek after before we seek after Jesus. All these things tend to be the things that we worry about. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can find ourselves really worrying about our future. And so Jesus just got done doing this little discourse on, hey, don't worry about your life. So how's that going for you? That's Jesus. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your clothes, your food, all that. Hey, look at the birds. I take care of them. He says, don't worry about all that, but seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and I will take care of everything else for you. That is a promise straight from the words, straight from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says, you and I put him first, then he will take care of everything else. And I don't know about you, but when Jesus says something, I believe it. Yeah. And I just say, Lord, I don't want to just believe it. I want to live it out. So help me not just to be a hearer, but a doer, Lord. And so I need your help. We all need his help. I'm so thankful that there's a grace that Jesus has for every single one of us, because we're all at different places in our journey with Jesus, right? Maybe this church Jesus thing is new for you. Maybe you're curious about faith and you happen to show up here. Maybe you've been serving Jesus for 50 years. Wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus, there's a grace for you today. Amen. You and I don't have to be perfect, but I'm here just to encourage us, to challenge us to put Jesus first and really to seek him above everything else in our life. And I believe his grace is going to help empower us to put Jesus first in our life. Because the truth is, you and I can put Jesus third. We can live the Jesus third life, or the Jesus fourth life, or the Jesus fifth life. But the goal is that you and I live the Jesus first life. We seek him first. That's why I believe it's important for us to show up on Sunday, the first day of the week. You and I are saying, Jesus, I give you the first day of the week. That's you and I putting Jesus first in our week. I think it's important for us to, in the morning, spend at least a little bit of time with Jesus to say, Jesus, I'm giving you the first part of my day, every single day. That's why I really wholeheartedly believe in the principle of tithing, because that's me saying, Jesus, I give you the first part of all that I earn, all my finances. When we are faced with decisions, what do? Do you Google it? Do you chat GPT? What should I do in this decision? Do you text your friends? Do you call your friends and ask them? Or should we go to Jesus first in the decisions that we're facing in life? I think we should put Jesus first in every area of our life, and that's really what Jesus is saying. You put me first, and I promise to take care of you in every situation that you face. So let's live the Jesus first life. Now, I'm a history buff. Anybody out there like to study history, read about history? I love to watch documentaries. I'm fascinated by the 1960s. I didn't live in the 1960s, but I just am fascinated by all that went down in the 1960s. Some of you did live. In fact, you survived the 1960s. Right? I'm actually watching a documentary right now about the ABA. That was formed like in 1967, and it was, they wanted to outdo the NBA, and then eventually they merged and all that. But it's just that time period is so crazy. 1967, that summer, they dubbed that the Summer of Love. This is when our country just felt chaotic. There's protests all over our country against the Vietnam War. The mantra was make love, not war. And so they dubbed that the Summer of Love. 1967. The country is 4 years removed from the assassination of JFK. The hippie movement is in full swing. And right about that time, the Beatles came out with this album right here, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Some of you maybe remember when that came out. And then 1968 came. 1968 is an interesting year because I believe, in my humble opinion, it was worse than 2020. There's a documentary that CNN put out about 1968. If you lived and survived 1968 and you watched this documentary, you'd be like, I forgot about all that happened. Like, I watched that documentary, and again, fascinating, but our country it felt like it was falling apart all over the place. 2020 was crazy. It was weird, wasn't it? And you watch this 1968 documentary, you're like, oh, I think that might have even been worse. Like, it felt like our country wasn't going to make it to its 200th birthday. That's how crazy. In fact, CNN called it the year that changed America. And when you watch that documentary, I think the coolest thing about it is how it ends and how the year 1968 ends. It's just super, super cool. So it's a hard time in our country. It's very chaotic. People feel like our country's falling apart, protesting everywhere. And wouldn't you know, it's during this time that the Spirit of God begins to move in different places in our country. All of a sudden, people are finding faith in Jesus. All of a sudden, a bunch of hippies are finding faith in Jesus. And it's happening in different places across our country, but these people are finding faith in Jesus. They're like sold out, radical, because Jesus has like totally changed their life. They're sharing their faith. They're making disciples. Like hundreds of thousands of people are coming to faith in Jesus over the next several years. And then within 3 years, Time Magazine puts this on the front cover of them. It was 71, 72, the Jesus Revolution. So the Jesus Revolution had already been in full swing. Time Magazine really recognized it then. And so they called these people, they were the Jesus people. This is the Jesus people movement. They called them Jesus freaks, which I think is a good description. I'd love to be called the Jesus freak. Maybe you saw this movie. This movie came out a couple years ago, A Jesus Revolution. This is like our family's favorite movie. We love, absolutely love to watch this movie. And it details just some of what happened in the Jesus movement. It was a miraculous move of God that swept across our country. How many of you want to see something like that happen again? How many of you believe that the Spirit of God can move again, even here in this church, and that Generations Church can impact not just you, not just your family, but the entire community? I'm telling you right now, guys, the Spirit of God is stirring all across our country. There is an awakening that is it's beginning to happen again. People are hungry for spiritual things. They don't know it's Jesus. They just are like hungry for spiritual things. They're open to Jesus, and it's up to you and me. What are we going to do about it? And we got to pray. We got to hit our knees. We got to share our faith. We got to take Jesus outside the walls of the church into the community. I believe that Moses Lake is prime to see people radically saved by the power and the love of Jesus. I want to see it again. Don't you? And here's what I've learned is that God moves where he's wanted. God moves where he's wanted. Do you want him? And it really comes down to the hunger that we have. This is why I'm posing this question, what are you seeking? Because what we seek matters. What I seek doesn't just affect my life, it affects everybody around me. So God moves where he's wanted. He will bypass every lukewarm Christian, and he will fill the one that's crying out to him. God moves where he's wanted. So what if we normalized a passionate pursuit of Jesus? What if it was normal to passionately pursue him? What if we felt like, I don't want to watch my favorite show tonight. I just want to get in the Word. I just want to seek God. I just want to pray. I just want to spend time in his presence. Instead of putting on my favorite movie, I just want to worship Jesus tonight. Like, I just am passionate about pursuing Jesus. I want to get closer to him. What if that became a part of the normal rhythm of our life? Now, the good news is if you find yourself in a place where you maybe don't have that passion for Jesus, there's a grace for you right where you're at. And I just believe that Jesus, by his Spirit, and just in a loving, gracious way, wants to stir up a passion inside of us today. Today. Are you ready? You ready to receive that? There's a proverb that says this. One who is full loathes honey. And so the principle is this. When you're full of something, or you're completely full, and something good comes along that you would normally want or like, you don't want it because you're full, right? So, and everybody loves honey, right? So that represents anything good that you would want to have in your life, but you won't want it if you're already full. And so we can find ourselves living out this principle in our life. We just fill ourselves, like, if we're honest, we consume information. We consume media. We're just consumers all the time. Even when we drive down the road in our cars and we're listening to the radio or whatever, or billboards are just bombarding us with information of things that we have to have in our life that will change our life. We're consuming all this stuff, and sometimes we can find ourselves being so full of all these things in the world, and God comes along, he wants to speak to you. He has something new for you. He wants to pour out his Spirit on you, and we're like, nah, I'm good, because I'm already full. We can just fill ourselves with so many things and miss out on the good, the better that God has for us, because we're full. I could illustrate it this way. My favorite meal of the year is Thanksgiving meal. Anybody with me? It's so good. Like, just give me that turkey. Let me put a whole bunch of gravy on it, mashed potatoes, gravy all over it, stuffing, all of that. I will eat that all day long, and then I will have some more pumpkin pie after that. And I love that. It's such a good meal. Have you ever done this before where you stuffed yourself with your turkey dinner, and then you had to go to somebody else's house that day? Like maybe the other side of the family. And you show up to the other side of the family. You walk in the doors, and what do? They're like, hey, we got all this food left. Would you want some? And you're like, no, I am so full. I can't have any more food to eat. Now, their food might be better than the food you had before. They might be better cooks than the cooks you ate from before. But you don't want it. Why? Because you're full. And we can find ourselves living this out in our spiritual life. We're just so full of all this other stuff that we miss out on all that Jesus wants to fill us with. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on what he has for me. So there's this life principle that says what we feed on is what we hunger for. And I love this. because I think it's so true. What you and I feed ourselves is what we want more of. It's what we hunger for. This is why it's easy for us when we go home and we're just like, I'm just tired. We just want to sit down. We sit down in front of the television and we'll just waste a couple of hours in front of the television. Why? Because that's what we're used to doing. And so what we feed ourselves, we want more of. It's why when we find ourselves with spare moments, we could find ourselves pulling out our phone and just scrolling on our phone. Because that's what we're used to doing. Because this principle, what we feed on is what we hunger for. The type of food that we eat is the type of food we want more of. What we feed ourselves in life spiritually and emotionally is what we want more of. That's why we got to monitor what we're feeding ourselves. What table are you sitting at? Where are you feasting? Feed your faith is my encouragement. It's so important that we make sure we prioritize Jesus and we seek him first in his ways, in his kingdom, in his righteousness. Seek him first. Let's just go after him. Feed your faith with Jesus and all that he has for you and I. And when we feed ourselves that, we're going to want more of him in our life, because what we feed on is what we hunger for, right? So let's take a few moments and let's go to Psalm 63, and we're going to learn from David about this principle of seeking and going after the Lord. Psalm 63, David says this, "You, God, are my God, and earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." Man, I just love the passionate words that David has put down here. He's like, I don't just seek you, I earnestly seek you. I don't just want you, Lord. He says, my whole being longs for you. Man, I pray that this would be our prayer in our life. Lord, my whole being longs for you. Now, David wrote this in so many psalms in the book of Psalms, so many good ones. You ever thought to yourself, what was he doing when he wrote these things? Because sometimes we can easily assume things like David is probably hanging out in the palace garden. And he's lounging on his chair there, and he's got his harp, and he's just playing his harp, and he's getting into his creative zone. The Spirit of God begins to speak to him and download all these things. And he pulls out his parchment journal. He begins to write things down. Oh God, you're my God. It's the heat of the day, so his attendants are there. They're fanning him to keep him cool. He takes a break. He sips his mocha frappuccino. He goes back, and he's like, oh God, and earnestly I seek you. My whole being longs for you. And sometimes we can have these false assumptions of the author of the psalm, especially David, of what he was going through, what he was doing as he wrote these psalms. And it's important we know the context of what's going on. So if you have your Bible, or even your digital device, right underneath where it says Psalm 63, oftentimes there's a description. In my Bible here, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Some of your translations say in the wilderness. He's out in the wilderness. He's out in the desert. This is why David says in a dry and parched land where there is no water. He's out in the desert, friends. What's he doing? Scholars will tell us this is when David is running for his life. He has just lost his throne to a guy named Absalom. Absalom has rallied a whole bunch of people to his cause, has convinced him he's more noble than David, and has overthrown David and taken on the throne and has declared himself, along with all these other people, he is now the king of Israel. And so David had to flee for his life. He had to leave everything behind. And he lost his throne, his possessions, his power, everything he had, all to Absalom, his own son. And so here's David out in the wilderness. And he's running for his life. He's got nothing. And what does he say? He says, oh God. He says, you're my God. And earnestly I seek you. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me, I might write something like, God, you're my God. And earnestly, I just want the throne back. Like, I'm the rightful king of your people. God, come on. Can you take care of my crazy son? Like, you need to fix this situation. You need to take care of him. Like, I'd be praying something like that. Maybe you would too, right? Like, this is not fair. I don't deserve to be out here in the wilderness fleeing for my life. I deserve to be on the throne eating good food. And David's like, God, you're my God. And you know what I want more than anything else? He's like, I want you. I just want you. I just love how David shows us where our priorities should be in our life, even when we're in the desert, even when life is going the way we don't want to go. And David says, God, I just want you more than anything else. My whole being, it longs for you more than anything else. Man, when we go through tough seasons like this, so often our prayer can be something like, God, I love you, I praise you. Can you just fix my situation? Can you just fix those people? Can you take care of them, those that you know what they're doing to me? You know how this isn't fair. And we can find ourselves just like maybe even complaining, arguing. We can find ourselves even going into grumbling and gossiping because we do not like the season that we're in. And if God answered our prayer and fixed the situation just like that, we might be thankful, but I think we'd be missing out on so much that God wants to do in our lives. See, there's these seasons of pain and wilderness and desert where we find ourselves in this place we don't want to be. If it was up to me, I would not choose this, but somehow, for some reason, God has allowed this to happen, and I can blame him, I can blame other people, or I can say, God, in the midst of this, honestly, I just want you. I need you. And there's this gap between where I am and where I want to be, but sometimes what I've learned is that gap can be a gift. It is a gift in our life that God uses to form us and to transform us. We do not like seasons of pain, but here's what we learn. Our pain is what God uses to form us and transform us into his image. And you know what God wants more than anything else is he wants to transform you and me into the image of his son, Jesus, so that we can love like Jesus, so that we can look like Jesus, so that we can live like Jesus, so that we can talk like Jesus, think like Jesus, we can smell like Jesus. That is God's goal. He wants to do a work in us more than just fix our situation. And so that's why I love these words of David, because he's shown us, God, I could have anything, I could pray for anything, but really what I need in my life is you. And you read through this amazing book, and all the great men and women of the Bible, they were formed through painful seasons in their life. It's not fun. It's not easy. But when you and I say, God, I'm leaning into you, and maybe we change our prayer to, from God, fix this, to God, strengthen me. God, draw me closer to you. God, give me your heart. Fill me with more of you. Then that's when God begins to really form us and transform our life like never before. Like that, those are the seasons we grow the most. And so David, man, look at the focus. Look at the priority he has, even in the midst of being in the desert. Moving on, verse 3, he says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Now, do you believe that? His love is better than what? Wow. That's a pretty strong statement, wouldn't you say? His love is better than life. Now, this word love in Hebrew is the word hesed. Scholars will say this is a hard word to translate. One biblical scholar, he says, hesed is this. It's wrapping itself up in all the positive attributes of God. Love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. So this is why some translations will mash different words together. The NIV that I just read just says love, but I think better translations say loving kindness, or loyal love is another way, and faithful love. This is the kind of love that we're talking about here. His faithful love is better than life. Aren't you glad God's love for you is faithful? Like, even when we aren't faithful to him, he is always faithful to us. I'm so thankful for that. Now, David is an interesting guy on so many levels, but here's a guy who had many, 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 many wives. He also had many, 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 many concubines. According to the world's standards, he could satisfy love anytime he wanted. He could fulfill his sexual longings at any time, yet David says this, God, your love, he says this, your love is not just the best thing in life. He says your love is better than life itself. That's how incredible God's love is. It's not just the best part of life, it's better than life. That's what I love about God. The more you and I get to know him, the better he is. The closer you and I get to the Lord, the better he gets. It's not like getting close to some people. You know, you get close to some people and you're like, oh, I didn't realize they had those issues. Which some people is all of us, right? We all have issues. Come on, right? We're all imperfect. The closer we get to the Lord, the better he gets. Why? Because his love is not just the best thing in life. It is. But it's also better than life itself. That's his love. And that's the love he wants to pour out on you and I today. And so we say, God, fill me with your love. Fill me. Just a couple weeks ago, you went through the Beatitudes. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for they will be filled. Come on, fill me, Lord. Fill us, Lord. I hunger and thirst for you. All right, let's move on here. Last couple verses we'll look at in Psalm 63. He says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And I think these are always good words right here for people like me, for the introverts in the room. You know, some of us, we're maybe more outgoing, maybe more demonstrative, and I think sometimes next steps for us in just growing closer to the Lord, next steps and maybe a breakthrough in our prayer and our worship life, is to live out the words of Scripture. And David, who is about as manly as men can come, says, I will lift up my hands to you. Maybe you've never lifted up your hands and surrender and worship to Jesus, and today would be a good day to do that. He says, I will sing, my lips, they will praise you. Maybe it's time some of us begin to sing out loud and just declare out loud, and you watch the faith that ignites inside of you as you begin to sing outside of you. And so that can just be some simple next steps for you. A couple years ago, Amy and I went on an anniversary getaway, and we were in the LA area. And on the night of our anniversary, we wanted to go to a nicer restaurant than we would typically do. Like when we're traveling around, usually we go to like Panera and Chipotle. And we thought, let's go to a nicer restaurant. This is our anniversary. So we found this Italian restaurant in like southern LA. It was like West LA. And it had really good reviews. And so we drove there, and there was a line out the door. And Amy went up and checked the wait time. It was an hour-long wait. But she's like, this place looks good. We're waiting, Tyrone. Okay, sounds good. We'll do that. And so we waited. We finally got a table. As you can imagine, we're hungry. They bring this bread. I take a bite of this bread. I'm like, I think this is the best bread I've ever had in my life. Amy, this bread just changed my life. This is so good. And we both were just like down in the bread. Like, this is incredible bread. And the waitress comes, like, do you want more bread? Yes, keep bringing bread. I don't even care what I'm eating for the main course. Just bring on the bread. I'll just fill myself up with bread. I'll take the rest home. I don't care, you know. It was so, so good. And then we got the main course. We ordered some, like, gnocchi. I didn't even know what gnocchi was. But whatever it was and whatever it was some of the best food I've had in my entire life. Every bite, me and my wife are just like, oh, this is so good. And we were so full by the end of that meal, but we had to have dessert because this food was so good. So we just ordered some dessert. I don't even remember what it was. I just remember that was so good, this dessert. And so we drove away from that experience thinking, that was a good decision. I'm so glad we went there. You ever have a meal that good where you're still talking about it? Anybody, like, you still remember how good the food was? I'm still talking about it. That's how good it was. And here we got David, the king of one of the greatest kingdoms on planet Earth, And he's saying, I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods there in verse 5. What David is saying is this: I've had the best foods that the earth can offer, and God, you satisfy more. You satisfy me more than any food I've ever had. And that's what I love about Jesus' words. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. But other translations say, satisfied. Friends, Jesus satisfies. Isn't it crazy how we can find ourselves pursuing things in life that don't really satisfy? We just fill ourselves, we consume ourselves with all these things that in the end, I'm not satisfied. That didn't make me feel good, or But when we go after Jesus and we spend time with him, and when we let him speak to us, when we let him fill us, we're like, oh, that is so good. I need you, Jesus. I need you more than anything else. Why? Because he satisfies. How satisfied are you in God? How satisfied are you? I think we've created a standard of comfortable Christianity that we're okay with. We're okay with just being comfortable. We're okay with the same old, same old. But what if we normalized a passionate pursuit of Jesus? What would that look like for you? To begin to passionately pursue him more today, this week, than maybe you have been. Again, this is why I'm so thankful. There's a grace for all of us right where we're at. But I'm convinced, you and I, we don't need to do more for Jesus. You don't need to be better. You don't have to be a better Christian. You don't have to be more religious. You don't have to be more churchy. You don't have to sin less. You and I just need to just be with Jesus and enjoy him more and learn just to be satisfied in him. He's who we need. That's why I love these words of this guy named George Mueller. He was a hero in the faith, started lots of orphanages, did great things. He says, the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord. I love that. Is that on the screen? I don't know if that's on the screen or not, but this is my primary business today. Maybe you have some goals that you want to achieve today. You have some things you need to do. What if this became my number one goal? God, today I just want to make sure more than anything else, I find my soul happy in you. Just satisfied as you fill me. So what are you seeking, friends? What are you seeking? He satisfies. His love is not just the best thing in life. It is better than life itself. He has so much for you and me. He wants to fill you. He doesn't want to just fill you with more blessings. He wants to fill you with himself. Again, that's what I love about this life with Jesus. This isn't about you and I doing stuff for him. He has called us and created us to do good works. But more than that, he has called us to live life with him and to enjoy him and his presence, which is so, so real. His love is better than life. I believe today and this week he wants to fill you with more and more of himself. So here's how I want to end. I want to end with this encouragement. And then I'd like to take some time. Let's just pray. Let's seek Jesus today. Let's seek him. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and I'll take care of everything else. As his people today, let's seek him. But here's just a practical thing you and I can do this week. This can be a practical next step, a habit. I call it a daily habit. And it would be this. The daily habit is to seek him and enjoy him this week. That's what I want to challenge you to do. Now, it's not very specific, is it? It's kind of general, but it's purposeful, because just let the Spirit of God speak to you. What do you need? What does that mean for you this week to seek him? I don't know, but I believe he does for you. Seek him this week. And as you do, just enjoy him. Like, he's got joy for you today and this week. Man, even if you find yourself in a tough, hard season, he's got joy for you. And learn to enjoy him right now. Seek him and enjoy him. That's what I'll encourage you to do every single day this week. Can we do that? Hey, why don't we stand to our feet, and we're going to take a few moments. We're going to pray. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come. Why don't we close our eyes, and let's just take a moment and say, Jesus, I'm here. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Jesus, right now we confess that we too often pursue other things more than we pursue you. Lord, I'm so thankful that there are so many things in life that we get to enjoy. We can enjoy good things, fun things in life. But so often we just push you aside and we just go after those things. And Lord, right now we confess not making you the Lord, the King of our life. And we want to put you on the throne of our hearts. Jesus, you're my King. I want you more than anything else. Holy Spirit, I want you in me to fill me more than anything else. So I'm coming after you right now. In fact, I encourage you just to stretch your hands out to the Lord right now and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Every single day we need to do this. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I need you to fill me again, fresh and anew. Holy Spirit, fill me right now. Fill me with strength. Fill me with wisdom. Fill me, Jesus, right now. With your love, with your joy. Holy Spirit, fill me right now. Fill me. I need you, Jesus. And let's just take a moment now. Let's just listen. Jesus, how do you want me to seek you? How do you want me to pursue you this week? And let's just pause right here. Let's just listen. Let him speak to you in the stillness of this moment. How do you want me to seek you this week, Jesus? Lord, are there some habits we need to let go of and start? Are there some spiritual practices that we need to lean into more this week? Lord, to meet you in worship, in your word? Lord, are you calling me to fast this week? Lord, are there things in my life I need to give up in order to seek you? Jesus, I'm willing. Willing. I want to seek you first. I want to put your kingdom, your ways first in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this room right now. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts right now. Amen. So here's my challenge, and I'm gonna really call us to come down and pray. If you want to come down, we're just going to pray and seek the Lord. But remember my challenge this week, daily habit, seek him and enjoy him. Seek him, just enjoy the Lord. He is good. Taste and see that he is good. And can we just do that right now? How about right now? Before we go, some of us, maybe we're hungry. I was talking about food a lot today. Maybe you're hungry because of that, like, my prayer is, Lord, I want to be hungry for you more than anything else. So let's just take time and let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord. And if you want to join me down here, we're going to pray. We're going to worship. Won't we come down here? Let's just seek Jesus at the altar. Let's enjoy his presence together here at the altar. Let's just, before we move on in the rest of our day, let's just say, God, fill me with the hunger. Lord, I truly want to have a hunger for you, a longing for you in my life. And I just believe this is going to be a place of encounter for you, a place of filling right now. The Spirit is going to fill you right now. Holy Spirit, right now we need you in this place. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just take some time. We'll just worship. We'll just enjoy this moment. We'll just seek the Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Love that, those words we just sang. Break every stronghold. How many of you know that Jesus has the power to break strongholds in our life? That's how powerful and real and mighty his name is. And maybe there's some strongholds that you've been holding on to and you know about them. Maybe you don't. And God in his loving kindness wants to convict you and set you free. And here's what I've learned is that freedom feels good. Freedom feels good, way better than slavery and bondage. And so I just want to encourage you, one of the things that's happening right now as the Spirit of God is moving across our country is that people, and young people are leading the way in this, by the way, but they are confessing things in their life that they need to let go of, and Jesus is breaking strongholds as they confess. There's power in confession. And that's the beginning of freedom, is when we confess, we surrender to Jesus. And so maybe you just need to take a moment right now and just confess, Jesus, I confess. Maybe it's just apathy. I've been apathetic. I confess that. Whatever, just right now, to Jesus, just confess and let him break whatever stronghold that needs to be broken in your life. Maybe it's there's thinking in your life that you need to confess that he wants to free you of. Come on, just take a moment right now. Just confess whatever that is and let him bring freedom. I pray for breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. Every stronghold broken in the name of Jesus. Distractions in my life that cause worry to take root. Lord, I confess worry in my life. Lord, would you break that in my life? Jesus, you said I don't need to worry. You'll take care of me. Lord, I confess that, Lord, and I pray that you break that worry in my life in this place. I pray that you break anxiety in this place, Lord. People that are held back by anxiety, I pray you release a freedom, a peace, a shalom peace right now. Over them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let your peace fill us, fill our hearts. Jesus, we want you. When God moves where he's wanted, God moves where he's wanted. Right now, the Spirit of God is moving all over our country, all over the world. And right now, here in Moses Lake, well, let's just collectively cry out to God. God, we want you. God, we want you. God, would you move in my life, in my heart right now? Would you ignite greater faith? Would you ignite greater passion, a greater hunger in my life for you right now, Jesus? God, I want you more than anything else, more than fixing my situation, more than that healing I've been believing for. Jesus, I just want you. I want more of you and your presence in my life. I hunger and thirst for you. God, would you fill me? Fill me. I seek you above everything else, Jesus. Right now, by your Spirit, would you begin to move in our lives, in our hearts, in this church, in our families, Lord, in our neighborhoods, all across Moses Lake, in this city. God, we want you. There's a hunger that you're stirring right now for you and for your ways to live for you, Jesus. Lord, we want you. We want you, God. Lord, we want to see you do great and mighty things. We want to see you pour out your Spirit on people who are far from you. Lord, we have faith for those that are far from you, for those Sauls that are persecuting you right now. They're going to have a radical encounter with you, Jesus. They're going to confess you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. For those prodigals that we've been praying for years in our family, Jesus, we believe the prodigals are coming home. Lord, this week, this month, Lord, this season, they're coming home. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. We believe that, Lord. Stir up faith in who you are, Jesus. A greater faith in who you are. Right now, Jesus. Jesus.